Hi guys, I'm Rick Dancer. Welcome to Get Real with Rick Dancer. Excited to have you here tonight. One of my favorite topics, community and beer. What else could you want? Kathy and I looked really fast when we came to Montana. We started looking around for breweries. And one of the ones that's in East Helena, which is on the main road from I-90 to Helena, right as you come into East Helena, is Missouri River Brewing Company. Super cool place. The interiors are just what you expect kind of in Montana. Woodsy and iron and steel and really cool stuff. And they have awesome beer. Well, over the last year or so, we first met Adam and his wife, one of the owners. And Adam kind of runs the show, you know, the floor. And then at the gym, you know, there's this guy and he's got this great goatee, you know, and I want to go up and say something to him, go, hey, that's a great beard you got there. And I never did. And then I saw him one day in the back room, back with the big kegs at Missouri River. And I'm like, I said to Adam's wife, who is that guy? She goes, well, that's Scott. And I go, oh my gosh, he goes to my gym. So anyway, start talking to him, put this together, and we've got a great show for you tonight. So you're going to really enjoy this. We're going to talk about their brewery. They've only been doing this 2.5 years, and they're growing, and just kind of what they did, how they got there, how tough it's been. Our sponsors tonight, we can't do these shows without sponsors. We have Montana Oral Surgeons and Implant Center. And they're awesome people who love to support the community and love to support businesses like this who are out there serving people. Also, Chris Dental Family Dentistry and Denture Center in Eugene, Oregon. They're doing dentures now. And Dr. Michael Bratlin is going to be on here to talk a little bit about that. And then we also have my good friend, but I got a bigger overlay than that, Fairway. This is Greg Hinkle at Fairway Independent Mortgage Company right here in Helena. He's licensed in Oregon, Washington, and in Montana, serving lending needs here. Best way to store your money is to put it into real estate, and he is the guy to help you do that. His phone number is 406-439-5626. Again, all these people sponsor our shows, and we can't do what we do without them. Now, so I'll be bringing in a couple things during the show, the interview with them. I went over and talked with them yesterday, shot some videos. So you're going to see the interior, you're going to see what they do. There's some pictures on here to keep you interested, but the conversation is just awesome. So let's go to the brewery. You want to? The public too is like, if I go into a brewery and you have the same beer and nothing new, and I mean, we're in terms of beer, it's, you know, we're past the lager all the time. Mm-hmm. I want a lager that's a new kind of lager.
You want that novelty beer going in, and it's like what's new and exciting that I've never had before.
Sky Hansen, partner of Missouri River Brewing.
Adam Hutchinson, the other partner of Missouri River Brewing Company.
So how did this whole thing kind of begin with the two of you and
well, I guess I'll start that story and let Adam finish. I started home brewing years and years ago and was looking for an out for my previous career and started investigating or trying to figure out a way to get into brewing, get open up a brewery. And had a few false starts and then met a couple other guys that were brewers. And you know, very long story short, plans lined up, we ended up with a silent partner investor, and we opened this place. In the process, we figured that we needed someone that was very customer service orientated. So we brought Adam on board initially as our taproom manager, but he ended up being so good at his job that we brought him on as a partner. And then I'll let Adam pick it from there.
Yeah, that was during construction before we opened up.
Yeah.
I was up on scaffolding and these guys came to me and said, we want to partner you in. And it was a big deal because I had, I was kind of just then getting introduced to the craft beer world. And so as I was learning about craft beer, I was trying other people's beer. And I was also trying Scott's beer, and there was a noticeable difference between what else was on the market. So I was very excited to be a part of this, but it was a very big risk. I remember getting home that night. My kids had I still have the card, but my kids had a chocolate cake for me and a card that said, "Congratulations, Dad, you earned it." And that was a big moment for us in our house, because that was my opportunity to get away from the backbreaking construction that I was doing that had no end picture. So,
and Scott, your background is the medical.
Yeah, I come out of medical. Yeah.
How does that help you in terms of beer?
So, obviously, medical background involves a lot of biochemistry, chemistry, biology, microbiology, etc. And I used to, when I was a kid, my dad and I homebrewed, and this would have been back in the 80s, early 80s. And that was the days where if we got one batch of beer out of five that was drinkable and didn't blow up under the stairs or God only knows what, if you had one batch out of five that was drinkable, it was a good day. And so that was something my dad and I did together for a lot of years. And I asked my dad pretty young age, and so it was something that I wanted to get back into. And so a good friend of mine, I told him that story, so he got me, would have been 10 years ago now, he got me one of those homebrew kits, and I used it once, and I started studying all the science, and it didn't take long to figure out that most of the science of brewing is what I already knew. And so I built this intricate homebrew system and just went nuts with it. I bought every reference text, studies that I could find in brewing. So it was natural. It was a fairly natural transition for me. Don't you know you're supposed to put your crap on vibrate in situations like this?
Can you believe that? Adam leaves his phone on, but it gives me the perfect opportunity to throw in one of our sponsors here. We want to thank the people at Montana Oral Surgery and Implant Center.
Well, I'm Jason Fleshman. I am one of the co-owners of Montana Oral Surgery. I'm an oral and maxillofacial surgeon, and I've been practicing for almost 25 years. I mean, this is a big country. And then the people who are here wouldn't want to be anywhere else, you know? They'll die for their state. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to live in a state where people are that passionate about where they live? I replaced teeth with dental implants. I removed cysts and tumors from patients' faces and jaws. I perform oral and maxillofacial trauma surgery, fixing people's broken jaws, cheekbones, eye sockets. Perform office-based oral surgery and anesthesia. I remove teeth. I replace teeth with dental implants. It's no joke. Yeah, you don't mess around. You don't put up with this harsh environment. This is like the last great place, personally. And you know, if you're not from Montana, you probably don't understand. But if you're here, you know.
We forget to say please turn off your phones before the interview.
Yeah, this is what I have to deal with. That was never introduced to me.
Anyway, and it was a pretty natural transition for me to take my background in the sciences and put it into brewing. And you know, I was focusing on water chemistry, biology. I had a lab. I set up a lab in my garage. Spent a lot of microscope time looking at yeast, and it just went from there. It just went crazy, batshit crazy with brewing, and here we are.
So for the two of you, each of you in different ways, I'm sure, what is it about beer? I mean, yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, not the fact that I love it, but right. But I mean, there's a lot of things about that make you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, it's the science. For you, it's the relationship with people. Beer is that people.
But there's also a substantial art to it. You know, I think we both kind of tie into the artistic expression of what we do here.
There's like no limits. You can literally, it's a classic case of if you can dream it, you can make it.
Okay, this is the best. This is my favorite. The oatmeal butterscotch. Right, Scott?
That is your favorite. That is the word on the street.
Mm. That is such good beer.
You know, it's so much fun. There's a pumpkin slasher that we actually designed, brewed, and labeled and had packaged in less than 30 days. Yeah. I mean, it was, and it went over amazing. And, but it's just, it's fun. It's creative. You're able to create something and then get feedback from people, you know, you get validation from people that your creation was actually legit.
I think one of the things that I would say we do well, you know, because we have all the historic styles of beer. You know, we have the Amber Ale, Irish Red, you have all the British Ales, you have American IPAs. You know, we have all these kind of standard styles, which we like and we brew. But I think there's a new, I don't want to say trend, I think there's a new direction, if you will, that of experimenting with flavors. And it's like, what kind of a flavor combination can we put to one of these historic styles that we all like, we all brew, and we appreciate? We can create something new and interesting. And I think we push that boundary more than anyone. For example, you know, the pumpkin ale, which a lot of people are doing that, but we also have a chocolate hazelnut ale. We have a huckleberry blonde. We have
cheesecake ale,
root beer porter, butterscotch oatmeal stout, vanilla cream ale, the orange creamsicle. We're always kind of pushing those flavor boundaries, and you know, the artistic slash science aspect of it is, one, to pick that base beer. It's like, what if we have an idea in our head for a flavor in a beer, we still have to create some kind of base true to style that is going to complement that flavor and let it stand out. And that's kind of a challenge. I think we really do well.
And yeah, it's fun to serve those beers. It's fun to have somebody come in that you may not see all the time, but every time they come in, they always say, what's new? And then you get to be able to display, try this. The girls behind the bar hate working with me because I sample every single beer to people because I want you to try all of them because I want you to find that beer that you absolutely love. And it's a lot of fun.
So Adam, for you, like with the crowd and the people and coming in here, do you feel like this is your living room? Like, people, you know what I mean?
This is like my home for sure. We both slept here more than once.
Yes, I have slept by the fireplace a time or two.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, this is, to kind of tie that into something else that you said earlier, something about beer for me is that a lot of people have different reasons as to why they drink. For me, drink has always been about celebration. I am not somebody that when I get depressed or upset that I turn to alcohol. Alcohol has always been for celebration. So having people come into our household, it's always a celebration and it's great. People love what they're doing. We love hearing that they're having a great time and that they're enjoying every aspect of what we do here, whether it be the environment, the food, the beer, the customer service.
So talk to me about, because 2 years, you guys just, you're really kind of babies at this. I mean,
two and a half years old, yeah.
And how do you get that good that fast? And this, I mean, people, you said, when people walk in here, you think you're on the caliber, and I don't mean beer-wise, I just mean business-wise. That's Lewis and Clark, Kettle, you know, all these bigger breweries. Until today, when you said that, I thought you were. Yeah. You know, I mean, you created a mirage for me, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I understand the mirage part, but we've been very transparent and humble since the very beginning to where we've always told the customer base and the community and anybody coming in that we are a new business, that everything here is a reflection of who we are and how we would like it if we were to go into a brewery. And it kind of turns out more to where you're really coming into our living room because we did all the design in here. We did all the construction in here. We put this whole place together.
The lighting, all that stuff.
Oh,
it's
all
your stuff. It's kind of who you are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and to add on to that and to kind of add another dimension to the question you asked, I mean, we're definitely not on the level of those guys at all. I mean, they've taken years to get to the level they are, and they've earned it. And we're not to that point, not even close. But with that said, I mean, we feel like we have a great beer. I mean, all of our employees, even our customers, have an input on what we do. You know, it's my job to handle the science and the design. But we genuinely think we have a really good product. And we're packed house overnight. I mean, obviously we're doing something okay. And so we have the capacity, we have the size, we have the drive, we have the product that it's like, well, we might as well see where we go with it. So in the 2.5 years, we've, based on feedback, based on some blind luck, we're in a situation where we can get bigger. And so we made the decisions that we might as well. So let's see what we can do. I mean, it may kill us first, but now we're kind of on that horse that's running, and we got to stay on or get bucked off. So it's, this whole project has taken on a life of its own. And I mean, it's all Adam and I can do to keep up at this point, but it's going. So, you know, here we are.
I'm very tired.
So they just want a vacation. That's what it means when you have a small business, isn't it? They're canning beer now. They're doing a whole lot of other stuff. We've got much more in the interview right after this.
This guy's really good. Shannon is the best enturist I've ever seen. He was coming in on Fridays, and now he's coming on Fridays and Monday. But everybody that leaves with him, he always has me come. He goes, come here, because I'll come in on Fridays. He's like, and they look absolutely beautiful. The patients, there's hardly any redos. Like, I wish, and I probably will advertise a lot just to get him some momentum, but he is so good. He's the best enturist I've ever met. Yeah, his outcomes, because you know, you make denture and they don't fit very well, they don't look very good. He's awesome. Not only does he, you know, take the impressions, there's a lot of art to taking impressions, but he also makes the dentures. He's fantastic. I love having him. He's made my life a lot easier because I don't have to worry about dentures anymore.
Very often. So what's your dream then? What do you guys hope to like?
Just slow down to take a break.
Yeah. My dream at this, since we've opened, my dream has literally been to be able to just take a vacation. That's like, I swear to God, it's just, I just want to take a week or two off and maybe like go over to Europe and kind of just hang out in Europe for a little while and relax, but also know that our baby is being taken care of.
Yeah, because this is our child at this point. We have to, like any parenting strategy, we have to grow this thing up. And that means we have to be here. I mean, we have to put the time in. And that's what we're doing. And so eventually, we hope to be able to get it to the point where we have enough staff that can do a lot of the day-to-day things that Adam and I have to do now so that we can ease up a little bit better. Just, we're not at that point yet.
We'll tell you this, though. The Missouri River runs through multiple states.
Is that why you named it? Why did you name it Missouri River? I mean, you are on. I mean,
it was available.
Because he was gone.
There was really no thought process.
You assume a lot of what we do has involved thought process and a lot of times it has.
But isn't that like life?
But I mean, it's not a wrong statement though. I mean, when we were brainstorming, trying to come up with an idea for a name, I mean, you know, some of the names were cliche and then there were others that most of them were just taken. And we're, 6 miles from the Missouri River?
Nope.
So we kind of had it in our head, but we thought, oh, it's taken. It was the only one not taken.
How the hell was it not taken through 10 different states that it runs through? Not one person has taken that. And so we jumped on the trademark on that real quick. Real quick, to where it was like, all right.
Well, and then we could segue that into, because we do want to move our beer into other states. And then it just became a natural progression of like, here we are, and our namesake is the Missouri River that travels through how many other states. And so it was a very natural progression. It's like, yeah, this works. I mean, we can follow the Missouri River. So that's how it is.
So talk to me a little bit about beer in Montana. It's been here, you know, I mean, I don't mean not been here, but like craft beer like you make. Your state's new at it compared to places like Oregon and Washington and places like that.
Actually,
you don't think so?
Actually, you want to hear something really funny? Olympia Beer originally started in Montana.
That is true.
Olympia Beer?
Yep.
So it's not the water.
It is the water.
It was the water.
Actually, it was 100% the water, and that's why they call it the Olympia Beers, because they wanted that Olympia
water. What started in Butte, right?
I think. Yeah.
And then he wanted the water in Olympia, Washington, mm-hmm. and moved it to Olympia.
Yeah. So the recipe for Olympia beer and the start of Olympia beer started in Montana. And he was like a senator or something like that.
I can't remember the whole story.
Oh, it was a really fabulous, fabulous story. But the guy literally picked up his operation, went to Olympia, Washington for the water quality, brewed the beer, and then it started getting out. And then it wasn't even called Olympia beer at that time. But the reason why it turned into Olympia beer is because the people,
easy for you to say.
Yeah, the people said, we want that beer from Olympia. So that's when it turned into Olympia beer.
Wow. Actually, Montana, I mean, I think Byron is the oldest.
Byron is the oldest.
1990.
Still functioning.
This is
correct.
Yeah. Helena had five breweries back in the day, back in the 1800s. Now, brewing in Montana, it's a solid history. Montana currently facilitates between number two and number four as far as the number of breweries in the United States per capita. We're one of the biggest malt producers in the United States, and we are the third. We are the third or fourth. Probably be wrong, and someone's gonna be like, "Yeah, you're freaking wrong." The third or fourth largest hop producer now.
Yeah. Well, because I read an article where the Bud Light thing is really impacting hop farmers in eastern Montana to a devastating them because they
that probably malt.
It's mostly malt, but I mean, I don't know. That's hard because those guys contracted. So they grow the malt and it's all contracted to sell off to AB, and so
yeah,
it's a risk you take though when you contract and you put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, so, and I would say Montana. I mean, we go through a lot of brew fests and whatnot. Just to kind of finish answering that question, that. You go to Brewfest and you have breweries from all over the state, and it's hard to find a bad beer. I mean, the quality of beer coming out of the state, and there's new startups, you know, these small new startups, oh my gosh, are putting out amazing beer.
Yeah.
It's just so much fantastic beer in
this state. It's nuts to come across the tent at a Brewfest and be like, who are you guys? And they're like, we just moved in 2 months ago. Try our Pilsner. And it's like, this is amazing.
Badass.
Where are you guys from? And they have almost a Cinderella story just like us. Dude. It's like, oh no, like this is my brother Dave, and he's always wanted to brew beer. And then we have creepy Kyle in the corner that just he's part of customer
service. So that's your Scott.
Yeah. That's me. Actually, no, that's Jared. That's Jared.
Yes. The demon of darkness.
So what's the next thing for Missouri River then? You're canning now. You are selling it to stores.
Yeah.
So that's fairly new, right?
Yeah.
Take a vacation.
Yeah. Get some sleep. Right now, I would say most of our energy is going into distribution. We just released a new beer on the market, the Butterscotch Oatmeal Stout, which I'm assuming is your favorite.
Oh, mine.
On the street.
Yeah, mine right now.
Huckleberry Blonde Ale is going out in grocery stores. Our Kolsch is going out in grocery stores.
The Doc Holiday.
Doc Holiday.
And Kung Fu Kolsch.
Yes.
Huckleberry Blonde.
Thank you.
Sorry. Scott still speaks on Bruford terms, so he doesn't call things by the name. He calls it by the scientific term.
That's fact.
And it's
That's why Adam's here.
Yeah, that's fact. Yeah.
Yeah. The name of that beer actually, Adam, or not Scott, is.
Yeah. That's why I stayed back here on this side of the wall. So we're putting a lot of energy right now, and most of it into them. We're starting to get the front side of the wall, the tap room is running smooth. Kitchen's always a challenge. Adam has been losing sleep over that, but it's starting to run smooth. So now it's distribution. Now we want to try to push across the state and start pushing into some other states. So that's where I would say most of our energy is going now.
And we think that's coming here very soon. I think within the next fiscal year, we'll probably actually see crossing state lines. So, and then, who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? It's hard because I think that we've learned with the last 2.5 years, what people really actually don't understand is that we opened this building, or actually the day that our brew house was delivered before we opened, a second location was offered to us. And we didn't pick up on it right away, but then we came back to it a year later. It was offered to us again. And we had just got done opening this. Things were starting to plateau and run smoothly. We worked out some of the kinks from first opening. And then we're like, yeah, sure, let's open up a second location. So we took on the construction of that as well during running and operating this.
Opening kitchen.
We opened that first. And then we were open over there for 30 days when we found out that the original renters of the kitchen were moving out. And they gave us a 3-day notice. So instead of actually renting the kitchen back out to somebody and taking a risk that they were going to flake out on us there, we decided, well, we'll run the kitchen ourselves. So then we took on the kitchen.
And then we sent down the distributor.
So for the first 2.5 years of actually function of opening this business and being functional, we have been nonstop with projects going on behind the scenes and getting other things launched, such as the kitchens and the second business and distribution. So when we say like, what's next, we've literally learned like what we have going on with us right now is very nice right now. Let's just keep it this right now. Let's get comfortable.
We don't plan much.
No,
it just,
this conversation just, we'll strike up. We're probably going to think of something tomorrow. You're like, let's go do this.
Shit happens and we just go. It's like, oh, let's do this. Okay.
But is that what's fun about your, because you have former careers and now this is like something completely different and you're doing what you love. And I think, Adam, it sounds like you're doing what you really love.
Yeah.
And so, because people don't understand when you own your own business how much it really is. You said it was a child. Mm-hmm. And you put more work into that, and it's exhausting, but you're always still smiling out here.
Oh, yeah.
And Scott doesn't really smile.
He doesn't really smile.
But he keeps making more beer.
Yeah.
And that's just what we want him for.
Yeah.
Just make
that's,
the beer.
That's all he's good for.
Make the beer and shut up.
No opinion.
So what's the thing you want Montana to know about your beer and what you do here? How do you define it, like, as, you know, to set you apart? I mean, you're obviously apart from different breweries and stuff, but what makes yours like?
So I have two answers. I'm going to let Adam answer from the front side, and then I'll answer from the back side.
Oh, that's a good question. I think that the number one message that I've always wanted people to know about Missouri River Brewing Company is that the beer made here and the times had made here come from the exact people that are coming in here and hanging out. We are just like everyone else. We did not start this to become millionaires. We do not sit up in our office and type away on the computer. We get in, we work hard.
Adam's on the grill a lot. He's in the kitchen filling in.
So it's, I don't know if there's a like catchphrase or anything, but it's good beer made by good people from the
neighborhood. You know, it's just, we're just local dudes that we've done construction. We put our time in. We're blue collar dudes, just like everyone else in here, sitting down and drinking beer. So,
you know, from my side, I would say, you know, on the backside of the production side, we put an inordinate amount of effort into, you know, science and chemistry and biology, just to do the best we can. I mean, we really take pride in being able to put out the absolute best product that we can. It doesn't always work out that way. There's beers that people will drop down the drain. It's like, this isn't our standard, so it's going to go. So it goes away. And then I sit down and I rework it. But we also are the brewers, and we take input from those guys. They have input on what we do. Our customers, our staff, Adam, and we're all putting our heads together to come up with new ideas. And then we just crunch it all down into the process and the science of, like, what kind of crazy shit can we do now? And then we come up with something new and interesting. It's like, whoa, I never thought about it. So we're always trying to push the limits of quality and interestingness. And then everyone's a part of it. You know, our whole crew is a part of it.
So is this to remind you when you're having a bad day that science is what matters?
Yeah.
So you really truly follow the science.
I do. That's how my brain works.
That's all I got. All right. Well, thanks you guys for sitting down talking to me.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks.
I'm going to see the brewery, but open hours when you're here.
Every day.
7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. is our serving time. But if you're able to grab a beer before 8, you can stay till 9 and hang out.
That's what I do.
That's right.
Yeah, it's interesting because in Montana, the breweries, most of them have to close at 8. That's just a rule, a law. There's a lot behind it, but we won't get into those details. I want to thank Montana Oral Surgeons and Implant Center. We're happy to have them as sponsors. Chris Dental Family Dentistry in Eugene, Oregon. We're glad to have you on board. And Fairway Mortgage. Oh, man, great. We're glad to have you in our company. He was so handy the other day when Biden did what he did with credit scores. Greg was right there for me to do a show with. That's what we appreciate. All right, share this on your page so other people know that Montana's big on beer and just kind of how small businesses operate. It's a great story. And I will see you, going to be at a conference next week in Nashville, but all of our shows are recorded and they're all awesome. Opening the primer in Oregon. We've got Education First in Oregon. And we're going to talk about Greater Idaho next week in Oregon, where they're going. They're moving up in the scale. People are starting to talk even more about them. So we'll have all those shows for you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. And then I'll be back live the following week. All right. Have a good week. See you later. Good night.